Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, and serving on boards, and sometimes just showing up. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose and belonging. You know, our state parks, our Washington state parks, are committed to protecting our most treasured lands, providing memorable experiences, and connecting people with the diverse natural and cultural heritage of our state. With nearly 40 million people visiting Washington's 124 state parks, volunteers play a vital role in sustaining those parks. And I think it's nearly a quarter of a million hours of service each year. One opportunity is camp hosting, a tremendously popular volunteer opportunity in the state park system. And today, we are so pleased to be speaking to the volunteer program manager for the Washington State Park system, Valerie Roberts. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Missy. I'm excited to be here.
So I'd love to know a little bit about your role in general. And let's just visit with our listeners about state parks in general. Talk about the Washington State Park system in terms of its comparison to, say, our other states, and perhaps a little bit about the nuances of some of those parks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here. Washington State Parks is such an amazing place to work for. I'm really lucky to be here as the volunteer program manager. Like you said, you did a great job summing up the state parks and what amazing resources we have and how we love to share them with people. Our mission is to share and care for some of Washington State's most treasured lands, waters, and historic places and connect people to those places. We have over 120,000 total acres across all of our parks. Our biggest park is Mount Spokane at over 12,000 acres, and we have our smallest park clocking in at 0.0023 acres at Ronald McDonald's gravesite. So we have a wide diverse range of parks. We have historic sites, lakes, rivers, so many different things to enjoy. We even have a park named after our state gem, the Ginkgo Petrified Forest, where over 200 species of petrified wood have been discovered. It's amazing. There's something for everyone, and it's just a wonderful place to work. State parks officially opened in 1914, which makes it one of the oldest state parks in the U.S.
I read somewhere that I think it's even older than the national park system. Is that correct?
I think that that's true. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. It started with Larrabee State Park, which I think is pretty close to you all.
I think Larrabee is closer to Bellingham. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And tell us about that littlest state park, because I thought we held the claim to fame on that one. You said it was Ronald McDonald?
McDonald's gravesite. Yes.
What? As in the fast food Ronald McDonald, or is there another? No,
I don't think it's the fast food Ronald McDonald. Actually, you know, that's a good question. I need to learn a little bit more about Ronald McDonald, but he's a historical figure in Washington State. And we have his gravesite up in northeastern Washington as one of our state parks. And it is got quite a small square footage, but a high impact on the history of Washington.
Just his single cemetery. Of course, we have our forts, but then we have the one in our city that is just about two blocks large.
Yes.
So how long have you been in this role, Valerie?
I've been here for 3 months so far, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Have you worked for the state parks in the past? What was your career path?
I have worked with the National Park Service and the Forest Service before, but my previous experience actually comes from the museum world, where I've worked in museums in Seattle, and then before that, Oregon and New Mexico.
That's a really interesting segue to what we are going to be talking about, specifically to camp hosting. And I know that there's opportunities to use those museum skills that you have, but today we're focusing on camp hosting. And I'm curious, you know, we're talking about a transition year. We've had your predecessor on our program in the past, and it was really hyper-focused on the limitations of pandemic and just our shutdowns. Tell me a little bit about what this year looks like in terms of, are you really up and running 100%, or do we have some carryover of some restrictions that our listeners might want to be aware of?
For camp hosting, we have a lot of opening up happening in this year as opposed to past years with the pandemic. We have almost all of our host sites open now, and all of our parks are open and operating, and we have an unprecedented number of visitors coming every year. I think everyone has realized over the last few years how important it is to get outside and enjoy our natural resources and have a good time outdoors. There are a couple of things that have carried over from the pandemic regarding hosting. We are currently still requiring all of our camp hosts to be fully vaccinated against the COVID-19 pandemic in order to keep our visitors safe and as well as our staff members. And we still have a couple of verification processes in place when it comes to becoming camp host. But in regards to what you're doing at hosting or how many hosting opportunities there are, it's like it was before the pandemic. We have a lot of parks open and we have all of our hosting opportunities up and running. And we're looking for hosts to help us with our mission and help connect people to parks.
And that is what we are going to drill down into today. I think that's going to be really great to focus on. It's probably the most commonly known volunteer opportunity, isn't it?
It is. It's our most popular volunteer opportunity, and it is such an important part of how parks operate, and it's essential to how we can help people have the best time in parks. Park hosts are an essential part of our team.
An essential part in the sense that about 250,000 hours, service hours, that is incredible. And the percentage of staff that you have, you really do rely on those volunteers. That must have been really tough during the closures.
Oh, yes, we definitely felt it. We rely so much on volunteers. We have so many amazing people committed to our mission and to helping us get so many things done. We have camp hosts that help us, you know, greet visitors and welcome people into parks and help make sure that the campsites stay clean. But we also have park hosts that help us with trail maintenance and picking up garbage or helping repair picnic benches. There's so many other parts to park hosts that they help us maintain our parks and definitely keep them going. In addition to other hosts helping people connect to the historic sites that we have and share the knowledge that they have of the wonderful history of Washington State. There was so many things that we weren't able to offer during the pandemic that we're really happy to have our hosts back on board.
You have some pent-up demand. If you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and we have Valerie Roberts of the Washington State Park System, her role as a volunteer manager, and she is here to talk with us a little further about volunteering. There's such a diverse range of volunteering, Valerie. We didn't get to touch on it. We focused on camp hosting the last time we had you on air. Let's talk a little bit about some of the pieces we might want to follow up on with camp hosting, but really focus in on those unique opportunities. I think I was really struck by the idea that camp hosts had to do a lot of different things that I didn't hear you talk about, some of those misconceptions. Do I have to clean toilets, by the way?
That's a great question. It's one we get asked frequently. Camp hosts do not need to clean toilets, although there are a very few opportunities where that might happen.
Such an opportunity.
Yes, we do have some camp host opportunities where they are in charge of like deluxe cabins, but it's something that you can volunteer to do and it's only in one or two parks. But no, it is not a required duty to clean toilets. And also, we do not expect our camp hosts to be the people who enforce safety in the parks. We have park rangers and staff members who are available to help park hosts in any sort of situation where safety is concerned. That's the other big question. The other question that we get is, what are the physical requirements of being a camp host? And although it does depend on the park, there are some parks that require being able to physically get around. We have a lot of park hosts and host opportunities where anyone can do the hosting opportunity. And I'd love to talk more about that today because we have a lot of really unique opportunities for hosting, but also for people who want to volunteer but don't have 28 hours per week and 30 days to commit to volunteering at state parks.
Good segue. We have on your website a fabulous range of things. I was like, you're kidding. So one of the ones that really caught my eye was the assist with interpretive trails, or is this presentations? Tell us a little bit about that opportunity.
There are opportunities for volunteers to help with our interpretation in state parks. What that can look like is you can work with our interpretive staff members at historic sites to help give tours or help greet and welcome and orient people to the historic sites. But also we have other volunteers who come to more natural locations and help lead natural tours or help our interpretive staff with getting kids off of school buses. There's a lot of different fun opportunities. If you really like education or if you like sharing your passions with people, interpretive volunteering is definitely where it's at.
Do you train folks for that? Do I have to come in as an expert, say on ferns, for example?
No, we definitely train people on that. We have wonderful interpretive staff members who work very hard to find the really fun and interesting and engaging information about the specific park that they work for. And they will work with volunteers to help share the information out. And they also help collaborate with volunteers to learn about their particular interests. I know that we have a lot of interpretive volunteers that do have a background in education or who are passionate about a particular subject. And we love to hear about that. And we love to work with volunteers like that too.
And so in the case of this kind of volunteer, we're not expecting that they're staying at the campground. These are those project-based or kind of a scheduled opportunity. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Okay. We have our park hosting opportunities, but then we also have short and long-term opportunities for individuals and groups. We have a bunch of different things. And there's the more traditional volunteer elements like trail maintenance and litter pickup, but then we have these special opportunities like interpretation, working with special events, working in gift shops, or helping with gift centers and info centers. We have tons of opportunities for everyone. Anyone can volunteer here.
Yeah. So the gift shops and the park stores, that is a fantastic opportunity for folks who may have mobility issues, or the range of folks that could actually participate broadens greatly. It's indoors. If maybe you have, you know, allergies or some other limitations, can you describe for us a little bit about what a gift shop or a park store responsibility might look like?
Yeah, we have a ton of different info centers, gift shops, where we have longstanding volunteers. There's a lot of different things you can do. You can help staff members kind of organize the gift shop and make sure that all the materials are ready and prepped. You can help share information at the info center and get people welcome to the park and help hand out brochures or give them more information about Discover passes or what they need to be able to get into the park. Or you can also work with one of our friends groups if there's a friends group for that particular park, and help run the gift shop and possibly make sales or help with people checking in with their reservations. There's a lot of different opportunities. And you're right, it's a really great opportunity for people who, where it might be a little more challenging to get out on a trail or do a long hike or do any litter pickup. We have a lot of volunteers who do have mobility limitations, and this is a really great opportunity for them. It really can connect you to the park.
If I'm really interested in doing one of these opportunities, when is the best time of year to check out the listings? Is there a best time of year? Is, you know, there must be a real need right now, but I imagine you plan further out than the beginning of summer, for example.
Yes, for our individual and group opportunities, we list them annually on our website at parks.wa.gov. Mm-hmm. And the volunteer opportunities are year round, but there are more visitors in the summertime. And so we end up needing more volunteers to help us with the greeting and with all of the different volunteers opportunities as they happen. If you're interested in more traditional volunteer work like trail maintenance, there's the summertime work, but there's a lot of preparation that happens in spring, right after the winter storms. It really depends on kind of what you're looking for in your volunteer opportunity.
You mentioned on the previous program that you welcome and encourage folks to call the park that you might be interested in itself rather than going through the estate contact. Is that right?
That is right. Yes. For specifically for individual and group opportunities that is not hosting, we actively encourage step one is to get in contact with the park that you want to work with. If you don't know where to start or what park you're interested in, we do have a list of opportunities by park on our website. So you can always peruse that and say, oh, I forgot, I love that park. And then realize that they have opportunities. And then we have the contact number right there. So if you'd like to just kind of scope it out first, definitely check out our website. But if you have a park that's next to your house and you're like, I love that park, I want to volunteer for specifically that park, you can give them a call and find out what they have going on. Or if you have a particular passion or interest that you'd like to share with the park, please give them a call and see if there's any way that we can connect you with them, because the park staff really know what's going on. I think I said in the last episode that we have such a diverse range of parks with so many different resources. It really is unique to each park, what experience you'll have or what opportunities there are for volunteering, because they all have different needs. So it's always good to call a park ahead of time and find out what opportunities they have, where their need is, and find a way that you would like to help with whatever they have going on. It's a great way to start. And it's fun because you get to connect with the staff first.
You have me thinking about so many wonderful ways to actually do an activity, say with my family or my best friends. And Valerie, I can't wait to kind of plug in and check out what you've got going on, because it would be just be a great way to get together, even a family reunion, using that opportunity. Again, thanks for joining us. It was so awesome to have you here again. It's going to be a busy season, no doubt. And Valerie, I look forward to staying in touch with you for the future.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to come back anytime and share the wonderful opportunities we have at state parks. Until then, I would love to encourage any of your listeners, if they're interested in volunteering with Washington State Parks, to go to parks.wa.gov. That's our website. Or if you want to talk to a person or give us an email, you can contact the volunteer program. That's parks.volunteer@parks.wa.gov. Or the phone number is 360-902-8583.
Thanks, Valerie. This is Missy Nielsen, and you've been listening to Everybody Can on KPDZ 91.9, and I thank you for joining us today. I couldn't do this program without the masterful assistance of our production coordinator and sound engineer, Nora Petrich. It is my hope that today's program uplifted and encouraged you to find your path to belonging, because everybody can. Now go out, get involved, and maybe that path leads you straight to a state park. Have a great day.